In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Be honest. How many of us on a dark night like tonight, outside this cathedral, have stood in front of the West End floodlight and made some giant shadows on the wall? Light and darkness are intertwined. The brighter the light, the darker the shadow. So that with the illumination that light brings, are also areas that sit in the shade. In our gospel passage this evening, Jesus likens himself to the light, the one who illuminates the world, saying to his disciples, "While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become children of light." And "the light is with you for a little longer." Now, becoming children of light, that is, identifying with the life of Christ so that we are known as his family, is a desire that most of us would recognize as an admirable goal for a disciple. However, when are things ever that simple? In a dark room, we may light a lamp, but there will always be areas of shade, places where the light cannot reach. Light brings its own challenges. If I may, a personal story. Some years ago, I ran a drop-in center in Portsmouth. This project had begun with meals provision for the homeless, street drinkers, and drug addicts. And over my 5 years coordinating these community meals and the associated social care network that supported them, I gained an insight into the problem of homelessness. It was a far more complex issue than I had first realized. Homelessness presents a compound challenge of misfortune, ingrained life patterns, adverse circumstances, and often with mental health and substance misuse combined thereto. And those who are too vulnerable to manage independent living can easily slip down the slippery slope. For me, my understanding of homelessness improved. The spotlight of experience illuminated it, which is good. But the outcome of this clearer understanding was increasing frustration with conversations that began, "Why don't they just sort themselves out?" Or, "No one really needs to be homeless in the UK." Or, "Why would anyone choose to live like that?" Now, such comments, often from those with no direct experience of the issue, but too often from those within statutory services, became increasingly difficult to tolerate. The light threw up dark shadows around how social care was perceived and delivered. But tonight is not a social policy lecture. What has this to do with an occasion at which we mark academic achievement? Well, of all the places that we experience illumination, I think it's in the world of education that it's most pronounced, the discovery of knowledge and new truth. This knowledge and new truth lies behind the gospel text's comments about Jesus. He is the light because he brings truth that dispels darkness. And the students who gather here this evening, having achieved foundation and BA degrees, have been through the parallel processes of academic learning and training for ministry. This experience has the obvious aspects of developing ministry skills and reflecting on how to serve a parish community as an authorized minister. In the Church of England, of course, this is linked very closely to academic learning. the process of studying, growing, and articulating new understanding of, for example, Bible, ethics, doctrine, theological reflection, mission, and so on, is seen as vital. And as the years of training pass, so you have become increasingly adept at allowing this light of understanding to illuminate your faith. New insights, hopefully, have emerged. Truths, once invisible, have marched off the page and into your heads. And if we're lucky, your hearts as well. However, just as light casts shadows, so knowledge casts a shadow of greater awareness and brings a responsibility to share that knowledge. Knowing something can be liberating, but it cannot ever be unknown. New information brings with it excitement, but not everyone wants to hear. So the fascinating question of Pauline antinomianism in Galatians may not be best appreciated by parishioners as the focus of your extended sermon series. We know that knowledge should spur us to seek change. Yet this desire can be expressed negatively, so that this light casts a shadow darker than the ignorance it seeks to banish. For how many ministers have alienated those they sought to help through arrogant and insensitive pronouncements? So caution must always be exercised in how we share truth. Are we known as compassionate educators, those who illuminate the pathway of fellow travelers on the road to discipleship, or those who blind others with the spotlight of knowledge? In conclusion, how then can we celebrate what we receive through faith and education? How can we share this joy and excitement in discovering a theology that makes sense and allows us to glimpse God more clearly? Well, the rather sobering end to our gospel reading connects Christ, the light of the world, with the extinguishing of that very light. The darkness that would not hear his message of light and hope eliminated him. His death on the cross is at the heart of our faith, a constant reminder of the human condition. For in meeting us, God's answer is not to force, to command, to compel obedience. In Christ, God offers and waits. And even when our answer is a resounding no, and we step out of the shadows to kill him. So for all of us disciples, whatever our vocation is, lay or ordained, in whatever setting we find ourselves, light and truth is absolutely worth sharing. Tonight we stand 3 days from Ash Wednesday, the Lenten road leading to the bright light of Easter stretches out before us, a pathway dappled by light and darkness. We know that resurrection comes. Light does triumph over darkness. So our light, carried by love, must ultimately bring us a clearer picture of the God who came and still comes to illumine our world. Amen.